We got a 5-minute segment here. I'm going to let Patrick continue. I kind of left it with a question of, you know, we saw what happened at J6. They had little security. They'd stood down. They were offered 10,000 National Guard. They said, nah, we're not going to take that. We'll just keep the Capitol Police there. They had some little barrier set up, which was like a string on some, I guess, some wooden stakes, except for the bike. They had some bike ramps. But on the grassy areas, it was just like a little string that said, do not cross. Very small. I think by the time we'd gone there, it had already been trampled over. We had hundreds of agents of FBI and other government agencies in the crowd as plainclothes. And I'm not seeing right-wingers being embedded into Minnesota where they're going and attacking cops, except maybe some weird leftist LARPers who are pretending to be right-wingers. So, Patrick, go ahead. You think it's a case of, I guess we're treating it okay. And you're looking at it from the police brutality angle, whereas, oh, we like this police brutality, but not this police brutality. I would say the police wouldn't be defending themselves or being brutal unless in the Minnesota cases and in other cases in L.A. when the riots were happening over the summer. The police weren't going around attacking citizens and taking their guns. They were trying to fulfill court orders to arrest illegal aliens, which is what the people called for. So I'm going to give you the rest of the time. You get 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Go.
All right, so I was there on January 6th. I was photographing everything that was going on, so much so that I was subpoenaed to testify in federal court during the Proud Boys trial, in which I testified that those guys did definitely not commit a seditious conspiracy, right? So I came, I went down there, and I testified on behalf of Enrique Tarrio, on behalf of all the guys that were charged with seditious conspiracy. So I think I know a little bit more about this whole thing than you do. And what I would say is that InfoWars, for the last several years, really likes to talk a bunch of stuff. And I'm going to try and watch my mouth. Talk a bunch of stuff, but doesn't show up to anything anymore. I mean, really, you guys are has-beens. The fact that if there is an event,
what have you done since J6?
Hold on a second. You said you were going to let me talk.
I'll keep you over the next day. I'll keep you on the rest of the show if you need me to. Go ahead.
You guys don't show up anymore, man, because you're a bunch of bitches. Like, you don't actually care about this stuff. You just care about clicks and selling some nonsense, whatever the hell it is that you sell. Nobody cares. You don't care anymore. Otherwise, there would be certain people who would still work at the network. But what I'm saying is, you guys are a bunch of silly little girls.
And that's your argument?
Yeah,
you testified at a federal trial, and we don't give an F anymore. That's your argument.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my argument. You got a problem with that?
Oh.
Come on, man. You got a response or what?
I've got plenty of responses. I was giving you the full 3 minutes because you said don't interrupt you.
No, I guess I don't need the full 3 minutes to make a jerk out of you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this. We're not going out there telling people to step in front of ICE agents. I do want people to be, especially illegal aliens, deported from this country. I don't want to see them committing fraud. I don't want to see them getting all this free stuff. I don't want to see the changes in the political landscape that happen when you let these people stay in the country. I don't want to see the rents rising because they are giving free money to pay for rent. So that drives up the rents for all the people that work for a living. I don't know what you do. I work for a living. So, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. And, hey, if you want to kowtow and go, oh, we can't wait, people. When the guy's driving his car, don't get in the way. That's it. And you wouldn't have a dead lady, a dead lesbian sitting out there because what does she do? She tried to run over an agent. Don't do that. And that's not kowtowing to the feds. That's saying get these damn people out of this country. And if you don't like it, F you too, punk.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
Rob Dew in the War Room. Truth is our weapon, and we're fully loaded.
You know, I've been arrested. I've had guns pointed at me. I've had Army, Air, National Guard follow me around. I've done a lot. And I really love it when some Yankee tries to say he knows what's what. Lives in a city run by a degenerate communist. Hey, I live in a city run by a degenerate communist, too. He's really good at setting up banks and stealing old people's land, and nothing happens to these people. So, yeah, we don't do anything. We're has-beens. You know, what's interesting is we could do a lot more if we could get some closure on all the legal stuff that's going on. But we just can't. They can't seem to figure out what they want to do because, you know, we're a company that is profitable. And they have a hard time going, we can't just stop a profitable company from operating. So that's where we're at. Yeah, there's us doing nothing during the George Floyd riots. Well, let's continue to go to the calls. I do want to go to these two guys. We got Charles in Georgia, and then I have iFixItAll in West Virginia. I'm going to go to iFixItAll first. 7 steps to fix the country. What do you got to say, iFixItAll? Go ahead.
Hey, iFixItAll. Hey, Rob, on YouTube. You can find my 7 steps on my YouTube channel if you disagree. But I want to throw in CRS Firearms actually just decoded our Constitution with regard to the Second Amendment and people's ambiguity and how they get lost. Does that apply to people or soldiers? The very beginning of it says, we the people. So if you start off the Second Amendment with, we the people, there's no question it applies to everyone.
Oh, right. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Now, check this. Yeah, and I hope Uncle Sam hears this. All right, this is how we fix our country. Step 1, declare temporary soft martial law and reinvigorate the volunteer armed self-deputized civil defense with or without your sheriff's consent to assist ICE and the like. 2, executive order followed by a vote to redefine the bar for treason. 3, executive order followed by a vote to redefine citizenship revocation. 4, executive order followed by a vote to normalize firing squads. 5, got to catch my breath, evaluate all persons in the U.S. and determine guilt of treason. This will be hundreds of thousands of all ranks, genders, and races using all available forensic means. 6, pick your country or pick your bullet test. Those guilty of treason, pick a bullet. The rest, pick a country. Number 7. This will fix 85% of our problems in our country in less than 12 months. Step 7, use National Guard and Amtrak Rail to deposit these people to the East and West Coast. Use 3 East and 3 West Coast huge container ships to lawfully or by surprise ship the illegals and denaturalized to other shores. Conclusion, it's past time to go hard. We are in a satanic war for our survival. Again, this is I Fix It All on YouTube. You can find this list up there. My request to everyone listening is to screenshot my list and post it everywhere and get it up in front of the people who are actually trying to consider what to do about what's going on in our country, because we are in a satanic war for our survival. This is I Fix It All on YouTube, focused on self-sufficiency and reduced government dependency.
Yeah, I agree. And we're kind of past the time of being cutesy and being polite. We need drastic measures, or the country's gone. Or then we just go, okay, every man for themselves, and we'll see how we all survive at that point, because that's where it's going. Because after that, you're going to have communist control, and you can go watch videos of what it's like to live in Cuba, because that's what it's going to be like here.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that CRS firearms decoding of the Second Amendment out there, because for my whole life, too, I've always said, well, if I could go back in time and ask the founders to reword something, that would be the number one thing. But for some reason, I stumbled across his recent thumbnail. He decoded the Second Amendment. He says, start off the Second Amendment with "we the people," and then read it to yourself. So anyone who questions it, there's their answer. And I hope somebody in management and upper ranks sees this list, because we know we're heading down unhappy trails. But we are in a moment here where there's a tipping point, and we have to decide, how do we clean health? I read this to Harrison earlier this week, and he said, well, it sounds well thought out, your list, but it also begs the reason, why don't we just follow the law? And the dividing line there is, I've got several years on Harrison. And Uncle Sam, this one's for you too. If I was as old as Uncle Sam, I have lived through more. And then you gain knowledge from that, and that therefore there's wisdom. And so it's like experience is what you gain when the results aren't what you expected. And that's all I got, Rob.
That's it. Thanks. No, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, when you make a mistake, that's experience. You learn pretty quick on what not to do. Thanks for the call. I Fix It All. We're going to get to the, there's your list right there. We got it. So now people can screenshot it right there with the War Room logo in the bottom left and the Infowars.com logo. And conclusion, it's past time to go hard. It's too late to handle these times with political kid gloves. We're in a satanic war for our survival. And some people don't realize that. And as you could hear from the call in the first segment of this hour, let's go to Charles in Georgia. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
How are you doing today?
Good. Hey, let me see if I can humbly simplify a few hours or a few days or a few weeks of conversations on this program just to say something I think should be very simple.
All right.
And that's taking like the, you know, 33,000-foot view of any subject we want to talk about. Number one. Oh, by the way, I've listened to Alex since he was 25, so I'm up in my mid-70s. I've listened nearly every single day and distribute his videos everywhere. I own them all, take all his products, have about 30 different ones in my stock room back here. And the information is worth doctor's degrees, worth of info that comes out of InfoWars. It's all good. Great praise to you all for that. But let's take it to the higher level, if I can consider it higher. Until human beings decide to do like Nikolai Kardashev described, and his name is N-I-K-O-L-I-A-I, N-I-K-O-L-I-A-I, Kardashev, he was the one that made the concept of these 1 to 7 types of civilizations, top one being perhaps they go past the speed of light, they don't have war, of course, no health problems, can live as long as they want to. Now, if you bring it back down to where we are, I think the human dilemma is we see ourselves bifurcated in terms of sex differences, racial differences, country differences, until and unless we have a higher concept of what we are and where we want to go, we're never going to solve most of the problems, because I think our enemies use every kind of process of division to keep us, our energy focused on not as productive things. So, okay, one question we could ask ourselves, do we really want to heal most diseases? Do we really really want to have free energy? Do we really want to have a warless world? Well, then how do we get there? First of all, if we don't consider ourselves a human family, I'm less inclined to hurt my sister, my brother, my father, my dad, if I can consider them, hey, that's my family. So why do we insist on this concept of, we've been sold the concept that we're different and all these different segments. And if we would, number one, consider ourselves a family, we could move to the next level and say, okay, well, what is it, family, that we want to accomplish? But whatever we choose to accomplish, there's some definitions we need. Natural law guides us. Before there was religion, the Bible, or anything else, look at what animals did. Out in nature, the strong survives, but the weaker has to bind together to fight against the strong. When we get up into the human realm, we have also that motivation of consciousness and self-will. But the same process is in effect. We have to decide what kind of realm or life do we want as a human species. We want to be healthy, want to be free, we want to be on our own property. And then the next thing you do as a scientist or as a builder like Donald Trump building a 50-story building, you don't just go get sand and some wood and sticks. You have to have the science of how do you have the right tensile strength of metal and glass. So as a society, if we were more intellectual and just said, how do we make our world better? And define what we're trying to do, that would get us 50 to 70% farther along this path because we have a mission. The concept is people perish for lack of knowledge. Is that not true? Yes. Now, I could go on, but let me say something the last 30 seconds or so. With all the high praise I give to Alex and all he's done, he's a great man. You all are great people. I got to give a hell of a shout out to David Icke. The man has written over 33 books. He's a historian par excellence. But in his concepts are the same concepts I'm mentioning. We don't have him on and talk about him as much. Not that it's about him, but it's about his concepts, and that is there's an imbalance in the world, what we call governments and powers that be. We have, through our lack of realizing our own self-worth, believe these concepts that because we give them power, then they oppress us. None of this will be solved unless the average human being added together to the collective humanity understands that there's an imbalance of how we perceive ourselves in relation to powers and structures like government, IRS, etc. Until we realize we are the prime right holder. And then collectively as a family get together and reclaim our powers from these things we've given
Charles,
our powers
to. Hey, Charles,
to.
I was in my office watching and listening to you. I don't disagree with you. I love David Icke. He hadn't talked to me in almost 2 years. He attacks me all the time, says I've sold out because I support Trump. I don't even see it as a purist thing. I know Trump's not perfect, but we're all getting a lot done. Look at Kennedy. Look at all the good stuff. I'm not going to go over it all. And I learned people that know him well. I feel sorry for David. His daughter died 2 years ago. He had basically a nervous breakdown. He's been real sick with some type of lung thing. I'm not trying to reveal his secret. So we forgive David, but David won't come on the show. We love David Icke. And so we forgive him, but he won't talk to us. And so we need to let everybody know that's why. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, Alex. One thing about Alex, again, see, Alex proves my point. Look, I'm an African-American. I have promoted Alex Jones as a human being, not a white man, but a man of love or a man that has exposed anything about his own life he'll talk about. This is a real man. That's what I really love about Alex. And, Alex, thank you for clarifying that. I didn't know that about. And again, you feel, I hope my spirit, I'm not pitying one against the other. I'm just saying some of the concepts that he has had.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps.
I think Alex and David, to interrupt real quick, I think Alex and David have kind of worked off each other throughout the years. But it's true. When Alex will post something, David will post something very negative and very attacking of Alex. And he says, hey, well, come on and talk about it. Let's have you on. And then he doesn't want to, you know, he kind of shuts up and doesn't want to come on anymore. So, you know, that's up to him. He's had the open invitation out there many times, and, you know, he just doesn't want to do it. But I'll let you finish up here. Go ahead, Charles.
All right, and I will be very brief. If you take all of the shows that I've heard on Alex Jones, I have cataloged most. I'm going to download a few more days' worth today. And the ones that we could talk about for the future 10 years until and unless humanity again stops our bifurcation and see ourselves as a family, number one, and then you define what evil is, number two. And once we can define evil, then we attack that. It comes in all races, all colors, all genders, and that's where we spend our energies in a more clear way, and we can regain our power. So let's start doing that more.
And I'll say it like this. What is evil. You know, look beyond the skin suit that we're all wearing, and let's look at the soul. And, you know, is your soul positive or negative? And negative, you know, seems to be more of the evil type who wants to prey on people. And I'm not interested in preying on people. I'm interested in having, you know, if we're gonna have a nation of laws, then let's follow all the laws. And that means for everybody, not just a certain group, not just one group has to follow the laws and the other group can do whatever they want. And that, this group is on both sides, people. They're on both sides. So, Charles, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. That was a good call. Let's go to who's next? Oh, who's been holding the longest? It's looks like Charles, not John. All right, well, we'll just go. He's in order. John in New York. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hi, Rob. I think our biggest problem is not new laws or making new laws and things in Congress to investigate. We have all the tools available. And right now, I'm going to write a book called Where Did You Hear That? Because everything I tell to people about what I hear on this show and the other shows, they say, where'd you hear that? They don't have a clue. Because of the total censorship of the main media, and that should be investigated, because it wasn't always like that, but it is now. And the thing is, people don't understand that most of the media lies all the time.
There's a lot of news they don't report. I'll let you come back in a second, but there's a lot of news they don't report. How much news is out there now that Alberta is going to be voting for independence, actually secede their state of Alberta up in Canada from the rest of Canada, because they want to produce energy and Canada's not letting them produce energy. And they're like, look, we can do this. We have lots of energy underneath here. We could set up a good, safe infrastructure and we could do it, but you're not letting us do it. And the adage is, oh, you're just a bunch of oil companies running. Well, you know what? The energy's there. We need the energy. And if we're able to use the energy and have cheaper energy, you have more innovation. That's the bottom line. Go ahead.
Where did you hear that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I'm telling you the truth. This thing, people don't realize how much censorship is there. I'm a news junkie. I've been a news junkie from when I was 8 years old. I'm 77 now. I've been around the block. Everything is censored. And if we didn't have this total censorship, most of the problems, the medical problems, everything, if it was exposed properly, it would go away by itself. You know, the only reason people are starting to wake up about the medical is because all their friends are dying or getting sick or losing their immune systems. And you want to know something? They're still pushing these shots at Walgreens.
Yeah, with skeletons. Skeletons and witches.
Yeah. Yes, and I feel bad for the old people or people like I live in a Chinese community. They don't know what's going on. And I see them lining up and I feel so bad for them. And I know four people who died in my neighborhood within, like, months when they started giving the vaccines out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't from the COVID. It was from the vaccines. They know that now. Well, they didn't know before, but now it's coming out. Robert Kennedy Jr. has to expose this before he leaves. Well, that book explains it that he wrote.
Oh, yeah. He's exposed it. It needs to be exposed for the people to see, because not a lot of people read his book, The Real Anthony Fauci. And you know, it needs to come out. But here's the problem. The mainstream media doesn't want to cover this stuff, and they let the alternative media cover it and pretend it's not really a story. And that's where it is. But eventually, it's, you know, you can't ignore the deaths. There's people that know, and those people tell other people, and it's word of mouth, and it's slowly cascading their lies and their indecisiveness of wanting to cover these things, because they don't want to cover it, because that's their sponsors. Their sponsors are giant drug companies. So if they were telling people that, hey, our sponsors are killing you, there'd be some problems there in the corporate headquarters. So thanks for calling, John. Let's go to William in Texas, running for mayor in Galveston. Got about 4 minutes left. William, go ahead.
How you doing, brother?
Hi.
I was actually surprised I got on.
Yeah, hey, I like Galveston. I was going to get you on. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm running for mayor down here. The two people running against me are on city council, so I don't like the way they're running things. The current mayor is getting termed out, so it actually just kind of fell in my lap to kind of come do it.
Yeah.
So I want to do everything. Mom Donnie is. I do everything opposite of him. I don't want nothing to do with any sort of socialism down there. And I know a lot of people are going to be upset with that because it's kind of a liberal city.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't really expect to get on, so I didn't really have much to say other than I'm, you know, looking for some help.
Well, plug your website. Plug your website, Running for Mayor.
Well, I'm in the process of making it right now, so the best way to find me is on Facebook. Just my name, William Boyke. That's Boike. That's really the best way to find me. I got the support of my local union, so that helps too.
Yep.
They are fully behind me, putting everything together. You know, just gotta, you know, get out there. I need some door knockers. If anybody wants to help, that'd be great.
Well, you know, that what it takes is getting on. I would say call more shows, talk about the issues. What right now is the biggest issue going on in Galveston locally?
The biggest issue for me is the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They got arbitrary numbers being put on property, and you know, there's a lot of people on fixed incomes, a lot of houses being sold, a lot of people getting kicked out of their houses because taxes keep increasing, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anybody lose their home due to, you know, someone coming in putting a larger number than what your home is actually worth.
Yeah, and then taxing you on it every year. The property tax scam is ridiculous. You look at all the money in my neighborhood. I just look at all the money that's coming out of our neighborhood going into, you know, the county seat, and it's astronomical. And you're like, well, what are they doing with this money? The roads aren't any better. You know, what are we paying for? Oh, does it really cost that much money to run a fire department? You know, or pay the policeman or pay an ambulance service? You know, I mean, I guess you guys are building a seawall, but the seawall's been built, and you got all these hotels and stuff there in Galveston and cruise ships that land. So, you know, you guys have means of income that doesn't need to be coming from the people. And there we have it up there, William Boike, Boyke, International Longshoremen's Association. So you work the docks essentially, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'll be working tomorrow.
All right. Well,
yeah, work on the docks all over Texas.
Well, I would say, you know, take a page from Nick Shirley and go around and look and see if you can uncover corruption in your area. And if you can uncover it, one, you'll really make a name for yourself. And then when you get in these debates, you know, hey, I'm talking the talk. I'm walking the walk. I'm doing it all while you guys are just sitting here being on city council, you know, kind of lapping up off the public dole.
You guys have inspired me, you know. You guys always say, hey, get out there, get your local elections, and do something about it. So that's what I got to do.
Yep. Excellent. Well, good luck to you, sir. We got more calls up in the next half hour, and then we're going to have our guest, Royce White, at highway_30 and RoyceWhite.us. He's going to be with us for the entire hour, and we'll take some calls definitely. So if you don't get in next segment, and I'm going to take calls all next segment, we might play a couple videos here and there. I do have this video I want to go to by Wade Stotts. Put out a really good video. It's 14 minutes long, but I don't know if I'll play the whole thing, but I think we're going to come back from break and play part of it. This is a really powerful video explaining basically the scam of where we are now to where what we were sold. We were sold a vision, sold a dream, but that it's really hard to get to that dream now and attain that because of different constraints. It's all different stuff, but a lot of it's, you know, basically our government wasting money and importing foreign hordes in. That's part of the problem. So until we fix that.
Before I go any further, you want hardcore information like this out there? You want to beat the globalists? You want to change the world? I need your support. And I'm going to sell you stuff that works really great so you get it and love it. You're crazy if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, our RSGMOS, and our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per scoop. What comes out of a cow the first 2 weeks of its milk is just magic. Supercharges your whole body. Until Sunday night at midnight, and we have a limited supply, buy one bovine colostrum, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com right now. That's the new sale running through Sunday separately. This happens every 2 months. It's a one-week period where there's an overlap each month when they give away another super vehicle, super off-road vehicle, where you can get both when you buy anything you put in the sweepstakes. And 50 times entry only this week. Only time we do it on both the Ford Raptor twin-turbo V6, 450 horsepower, 510 pound-feet, on, and the Ford F-250 diesel, 475 horsepower, huge, just a huge off-road package, $20,000 in cash to win, all that. That ends in a few days as well. So take advantage of it all. But thanks for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one Bubba and Colostrum already discounted, get one free until Sunday night at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Maduro extraction set? No way! This is awesome! Time to gear up, men! We're going into action!
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Growing up, most Americans were told a story about success. Their lives, they were told, were laid out before them. Just jump inside the success machine and ride the conveyor belt to riches and comfort. The outline of the story went like this. College, job, married, kids, house, retirement. The quintessential American life. Yes, there will be hard work, they said, but you will be rewarded. The machine always works. Whatever you do, don't doubt the machine. That's what lazy people do. Entitled people who spend their days dipping their avocado toast in their $8 lattes. But if the machine ever did work, it doesn't now. Let's start at the beginning. First, there's college, where getting in means dealing with screwy admissions standards. Qualified people competing with unqualified people with a thumb on the scale. They're also competing with the entire world, whose credentials may or may not be legitimate. And once they get in, they don't exactly find themselves in bastions of higher learning.
The elite college students who can't read books.
Rising numbers of college freshmen are unable to do middle school level math.
Whole books have been written about this stuff. I haven't read them. I just pretended to, like I did in college. Then there's the problem of degree inflation. Except for some specialized fields, the degree they have doesn't set them apart anymore. As of 2022, 46.5% of working age adults have a college degree. That's almost three times the percentage it was the year Animal House came out. A movie most modern college students don't understand, not because it's old, but because it's in English. But it turns out that printing degrees has the same effect as printing dollars. The value of each one goes down. With a lot of employers, you might as well be showing them your Beanie Baby collection. For the Zoomers, Beanie Babies are basically the Labubus of Funko Pops, which affects the job market. The unemployment rate for recent college grads is 9.7% as of September 2025, the same as for 20 to 24-year-olds with only a high school diploma. The only difference is that the high school grads got their unemployment for free, and you got yours for $200,000. Plus, salaries have failed to keep up with inflation since 2019, which makes it tougher to support a family. So people are getting married later, and fewer people are getting married at all, while the birth rate today is half of what it was in 1950. And it wasn't that the Truman administration just made people feel like getting it on. It's that normal people have kids when they think the future is bright, also when they have a place to put them. The vice president has repeatedly made the claim that the price of houses doubled in the Biden years. It sounds exaggerated, but even PolitiFact rated it as true. For this and other reasons, the median age for first-time homebuyers is 40. For homebuyers in general, it's 59. People are going straight from homeowner to midlife crisis haver to retiree, which is a life supposedly built on two planks, the stock market and Social Security. The stock market is up right now, but that's mainly because big tech companies keep passing money back and forth. For young people, ups and downs in the market feel like they're happening in a different universe. You can tell them this means the economy is doing well, but it rings hollow. As for Social Security, more on that later. The truth is, this straight-line path was a broad reality, but only for one generation. It didn't exist in the same way before them, and it won't exist after. The middle part, work, marriage, kids, house, is a noble aim in any society, but this one-size-fits-all path was an aberration. As it stands, at every point in that story, the reward system is broken. Let's go through each one of these steps to see how it got that way. Back to college. Foreign students now make up 20 to 30% of enrollment for many elite or public universities. Some are even higher, 39% for Columbia and 44% for NYU. Big universities have an incentive to do this since foreign students pay more tuition. And most of these people are coming from China and India, places where cheating and scamming to get ahead is the norm. I did a whole video about it, which you must watch in the next 20 minutes or you may lose your insurance coverage. Then there's the DEI policies, which favor women and minorities and drive down the enrollment of white and male students. Also, the cost of college has gone up 500% since 18 years ago, when the current crop of freshmen were born, as if being born in the same year that Crank That Soulja Boy came out wasn't punishment enough. Sure, it's expensive, but I guess that's what you have to do. Don't worry, though, you'll pay it off with your shiny new high paying job. Except here you run into the same two things, DEI and foreigners. Because of programs like OPT, foreign students can stay in the country for years after they graduate. Also, company after company has been exposed for exploiting H-1B visas and discriminating against American workers. Cognizant, Wipro, Infosys had to pay $34 million for discrimination in 2013, and as of 2025, a whistleblower is accusing them of continuing the practice. Also, what are those company names? Cognizant sounds like a guy who raps about social issues. Wipro sounds like a flushable sanitizing cloth. Anyway.
All right, there's a lot of information on that, a lot of screenshots you need to still stop and look at, but that's from Wade Stotts, and we posted that on InfoWars, I think this morning. And you should go watch the full thing, and because it's got a lot of, it'll probably fill in a lot of blanks as to where we are in this world and how we got here and why it's the way it is. You know, basically his thesis is we're importing immigrants to make up for the lack of people being born here in this country. But when you import these people and then you give them a bunch of free stuff, it creates this weird, you know, playing field of prices going up artificially. And it screws people who are just trying to go along the right way, which is most of us out there watching this show, which is why you're watching this show, because you're wondering why the system sucks so bad. So let's go back to calls. But you can check that out. It starts with college, job, marriage, kids, house, retirement. And that's at Wade Stotts on X. Great report. I watched the whole thing this morning. It was really good. So let's go to Jacob in Texas. Wants to talk about the protesting paid morons. Go ahead, Jacob.
Rob, what a pleasure, man.
Hey, bud. How's it going?
Long time listener, multiple-time caller, but you know, hanging online for an hour and 15 minutes is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'll hit five simple points here. As a matter of fact, Uncle Sam, he's great. I listen to him. Love his posts on your guys' band.video. Greg Kelly and Carl Higbee at Newsmax kicking butt. I love you, Rob Dale. I love Alex, of course. The methane blue, methane red are great. You got the X2 iodine. I'd love to see that come back out.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? My supplies are running low.
Yeah, I know. I bought everything out I could. I got your guys' trench knife and the daggers and gave those away as gifts to my son-in-law and my son and a good friend of mine. And looking for that new one to come out since I've seen that posted today.
Yeah. That's badass looking.
Bartlett in Midland, Texas. Shout out to him. You guys need to keep posting him. Post him up, man. He's a good dude. We all need to vote for Governor Doc Pete Chambers, man.
I agree.
That's all I got to say.
Yep.
That, man.
Yeah, we've had Doc on a couple times. Great guy, going out and helping people in the flood last summer. He's got his head screwed on straight, and he doesn't seem like he's bought off by there's a weird Texas underbelly. You know, it's been around since before LBJ, but LBJ took part of it, and it's that circle, they call it, and you don't penetrate the circle, and Greg Abbott's part of that circle. The mayor of Austin's part of that circle, and they all kind of, you know, they may act like they're against each other, but you look at the legislators, half of these Republicans are really Democrats, and we just need to get rid of all of them. Get people in here that are interested in, you know, having debates. Hey, we can debate different systems. Let's debate things. But let's work for the people of Texas and stop, you know, taking these property taxes and taxing the crap out of us. You got anything else you want to add?
Yeah, okay. Well, Midland, Texas finally got Doc Pete Chambers on last week. I pushed and pushed and pushed for about a month, and they finally had him on. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. We got to get rid of Abbott, dude. We got to get rid of him.
I agree. Abbott's part of the circle.
Yes, sir. All right, I'll let y'all go.
All right, thanks for calling. Let's go to Betty in Alabama. Go. How you doing, Betty?
I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, that's a nice accent you have, Betty. I like that Alabama accent.
Well, a lot of people tell me that. Yes. I'm just concerned about the fact that America has been invaded. No doubt about it. And why is it being so difficult to get our country free of the invader? When we are called in foreign countries, because I'm from a military background, my family members have been in wars, and we have one in the theater now, literally in the theater. And, you know, you can't say too much about it, but... and why is it that we can go and help other countries and our country is literally invaded?
Yeah.
And we have, we're definitely invaded. And it's scary. It's scary because there's such a controversy about these criminals being sent back where they came from or even sent to prison, a mental institution where they came out of, as President Trump said. And so that's one of my biggest issues. Why is it that the United States, our United States military, can't come into this country and free us, free the American people?
Well, I'll tell you why. The main reason is the founders of our country saw... So when they were, and a lot of this started in Boston, interestingly enough, the British decided to lock the docks up and not let the colonists ship goods in and out. And then they were making them house the British soldiers in their homes. And so through all that, through those years of going through the Revolutionary War, when they were writing the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, they're like, listen, we can't have military on our... The military can't be on our soil, because then all it takes is somebody like a Julius Caesar to say, hey, I'm going to take over and march his troops across the Rubicon. So they looked at history and they said, we can't have this. But they did create a framework where there was, you know, internal type police forces. And, you know, in my opinion, those have gotten too big. you know, we're spending a lot of money on ICE, and we're not seeing the deportation numbers I think we'd like to see. It seems like it's onesies and twosies here and there. There does need to be a surge, but of these guys to get people out of this country that are here illegally. But it needs to be quick, and it needs to be done, and then they need to go back to old levels. And that's the problem with government. Once government grabs something, it doesn't want to let it go. So that's the fine line that we all walk here in wishing for things to happen quickly. But then once if the left gets in charge, things are going to happen very quickly. We saw how quickly they arrested people after Jan 6. And then you look at the Republican side, and it's like, well, you're not doing anything. And they go, well, we can't because it takes a long time to build a case. And you're like, well, it didn't take the left a long time to build a case. And you look at these judges. Bukele said, one of the first things he did when he got into power was get rid of these activist judges. Not judges. It doesn't matter if you're left or right, but you have to follow the law. What is the law? And they had judges who didn't care about the law. They cared about activism. They cared about an ideology. And so you have to get rid of the activist judges, the judges that aren't there looking at the law, but that are there looking out for their party. And I hope that answers your question. But thank you for calling, Betty. I saw two callers. Yeah, let's go to Mike in Alberta, Canada. Wants to talk about Alberta succession. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. No one hears about that. How come nobody's talking about Alberta succession? Why is it not a bigger story, Mike?
Well, it's a funny thing, Rob, and I'm glad you brought it up, but it's been a thing for a very long time. I'm a U.S. citizen in Alberta, and let me just give you a breakdown. Alberta has a massive amount of oil and gas. The bulk of it is sold to the United States. Canada, on the east and west side, block it from going to the coast. And so you're our only consumer of our product, which has made Alberta very wealthy. The only problem with that is that Canada has set up what's called a equalization system. So provinces that make money transfer money to provinces that don't have it. And so Eastern Canada shuts down their own projects to make themselves have-not provinces and take billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars from Alberta every single year. While at the same time, we have a parliamentary system which you vote for seats in parliament, and the city of Toronto has more seats in parliament than the entire province of Alberta. So by the time you have a federal election and the votes are counted in the eastern part of the country, it's over. So it's a classic taxation without representation system, and Alberta has wanted out for a very long time. Now, if Alberta does vote to secede from Canada, which is happening right now, and our new premier has made ways for it to happen, what would happen is Canada would absolutely fall apart. There's active secession movements in the province of Saskatchewan, and there has been one in Quebec for a very long time. So Canada, and Canada's not a country. A lot of Americans don't know that. It is actually a confederation. So when you see that red maple leaf flag, that is a Confederate flag. So Canada is looking at falling apart. And if it does, Alberta, working with the USA, would basically kind of be like Dubai as far as wealth goes, and would make a great state, as well as a land bridge from the lower 48 to Alaska. And
let me interject here. I think that's why Trump's not talking about it too much, because I think he saw what happened when he interjected into the last Canadian election. Or maybe he did that on purpose. He interjected to get Carney elected to decrease the state of the country even more over Polivar, whatever. I forget his name. Pierre Polivar. But now I do agree with your analysis on Alberta being like a Dubai, just this oil rich area, and it's not super populated. It's not, you know, what's your biggest city in Alberta?
We have two cities, Calgary and Edmonton, but the population of the entire province is about 4 million people.
Right.
And it's very young, very industrious, very educated. And, it's amazing because the rest of Canada absolutely hates Alberta. But what you said about Trump not talking about it, that's a good thing, because there is kind of a holdover anti-American sentiment, because the whole deal with Canada. Canada doesn't have its own culture except for as not American as you are.
Right.
And,
yeah.
and so I've seen that my whole life. That's the, you're only as Canadian as you aren't American.
A. So if, you have to add the A at the end of it. Not American as you are, A.
So. Yeah, right. So, no, it's quite a thing. But the thing is, you know, if Alberta does secede, we're most likely going to be using U.S. currency. We're going to have to set up defense situations with the United States of America. We already have U.S. bases here. They're basically U.S. bases. They're just not called U.S. bases. Up in Cold Lake, there's a air base where NATO does a lot of their exercises and whatnot. So I think that once Alberta does actually break away from Canada, it'll just be a matter of time before it'll end up kind of like Puerto Rico or Guam or something like that.
Maybe it's a protectorate. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the idea of being a state is still very unpopular. So anybody involved with separatism here just doesn't bring up statehood, basically, but it'll eventually end up happening anyway.
Yeah. No. And so what do you think? When is this election and what are the prospects of you guys separating?
So right now there's a referendum set up. There's different places where people can go and vote. And that is during the month of January. And if we get enough signatures, then it will be set up for a vote in the near future. Among young people, the numbers are climbing rapidly because they just don't see any kind of a future with Canada. And so a lot of things about it. It's a long train of abuses. Mm-hmm. The gun control issue. Alberta is just as armed as a lot of states. And, you know, the whole separation thing, it's the same thing just about anywhere you go. You've got the state of Jackson issue in California. You've got rural Oregon wanting to team up with greater Idaho. There's a separation movement in Illinois. It's that concentration of power in cities that free people want to get away from. And that's kind of the same thing with Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Canada, but I mean, you've got that in Spain with Catalonia. You've got Cascadia in British Columbia. And so, you know, it's a centralized power needs to be broken up at all costs, just about anywhere where you are. So thank you for having me on. And I want to say, too, you don't have to comment on this. I've got a long broadcast background. I had a spot on GCN back when your predecessor, John Harmon, was running things. And the War Room is infinitesimally better with Harrison and you hosting than its original host. He really went downhill. In fact, I told my wife he's going to be gone about 4 months before he was, and that happened. So thanks for everything you do. You guys' production is top-notch, and I've enjoyed InfoWars over the years.
Well, I'll let you know, John Harmon sits right over there through a couple walls. That way. And so he's still part of the team. We also brought down Scott from Minnesota. And so it's good to hear from you, Mike. And hey, mate, keep in touch with us, because when we when this thing finally has a finality to it, or if it does, but regardless, once we're out from under the sanctions and whatnot, we're going to start going 15 hours a day. I'm actually plotting out how we're going to do that, how we're going to do with hosts, whether it's going to be 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour shows, how we're going to do that and make it happen, because that's the next step, not to get smaller, but to grow larger. So thanks for calling, Mike. All right, let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. He wants to talk about millions leaving Minneapolis every day in cash. And I have a video that goes with that, but go ahead, Jefferson. Good to hear from you.
Hey Rob, happy Friday. Thanks for talking to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Patrick from Boston, I never did trust that guy. He always seemed disingenuous in his arguments, and he certainly proved it today. So no more Patrick will be fine with me.
Yeah
this
you know.
$1 million every day leaving Minneapolis happened under the TSA and the DHS of the Biden administration. That's $365 million in cash every year that they were shipping to Somalia. And somehow the federal government was well aware of this, but nobody had any explanation for why it was being permitted. You and I can't get $10,000 out of the bank, let alone make it go to some other country.
So yeah, we had played a video about a month ago about the TSA lady going, it was millions of dollars in each suitcase. She's like, I've never seen $1 million before. This was happening several times a week.
At least, yeah. But the federal government being aware of it and yeah. They're going to investigate this. I'm going. I've had enough with investigations.
Right.
This investigation should take a half an hour, and somebody should get charged. I don't care what they charge them with. It doesn't have to be a charge that is the final charge, but all these people should be sitting in a jail somewhere with a charge on them just that they have to deal with, and then you can add charges later when you do more investigating. But the idea that we can't put anybody in jail awaiting trial for anything is amazing when we have these people dead to rights on so many different issues, and Pam Bondi is never in the office.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And, if people want to see a revolution— keep sitting on your hands, federal government. Keep not doing anything, and you're going to see a lot more pissed off people. You think you just got pissed off people on the left right now because they think you're fascist and in power. Well, you're going to have a lot more pissed off people on the right who are going to be joining with those people and coming after the federal government if you don't hold people accountable. That's all we're asking for is accountability. We're asking for the same laws to be applied to the same way to everybody. That's all we want. And that's not much to ask for. And when you have millions of dollars just walking out of this country, it pisses you off. Let's go to this video. This is number 8. Scott Bessent talking about how they're banning. If you're on any kind of social services, you can't send money out of the country anymore. They're going to ban that. So here it is.
So we're lowering that to 3,000.
Oh, good.
And we're also targeting the two counties here. And we're going to do enhanced surveillance. And from now on, anyone who wires money out from one of these money service businesses has to check a box saying whether they are on public assistance. And if you are on public assistance, we are going to start pushing that you cannot wire money out of the country.
Oh, gosh. Well, what if they lie and they don't tell us public assistance?
Well, then
that's a crime lying on a federal form.
We're going to follow it up, and we are going to push that you can no longer do that. The American people, our generosity has been taken advantage of.
Our generosity is funding al-Shabaab in Iranian interest, it could be.
Well, the money...
I mean, this is really bad.
The money is supposed to go for alleged asylum seekers and their families and children. And if you are wiring the money out of the country, one of two things must be true. You are getting too much money and your benefits should be cut, or you are part of this conspiracy. Where did that money come from? We're going to find it out. That's what Treasury does. IRS has a group called Criminal Investigations. Criminal Investigations was the group.
Yeah, and we'll see if they really do it. Former TSA agent recalls millions in cash flying out of Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Jefferson hit it right on the nose. They are pulling out millions, and how is that being allowed? Because you try to walk out with $10,000 out of this country, you're going into a back room, okay? And you're not going to have a well-dressed man to say, this is how we do things, like we saw with the underwear bomber. If you don't know about that, go watch Police State 4 Rise of FEMA, a video I directed with Alex 13 years ago now. Jeez, time flies when you're covering corruption. So, yeah, federal government, keep sitting on your hands. See what happens. You're just making more pissed off people every day.
Before I go any further... You want hardcore information like this out there? You want to beat the globalists? You want to change the world? I need your support. And I'm going to sell you stuff that works really great so you get it and love it. You're crazy if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, our RSGMOS, and our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per scoop. What comes out of a cow the first 2 weeks of its milk is just magic. Supercharges your whole body. Until Sunday night at midnight, you know, we have a limited supply. Buy one bovine colostrum, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com right now. That's the new sale running through Sunday. Separately, this happens every 2 months. There's a one-week period where there's an overlap each month when they give away another super vehicle, super off-road vehicle, where you can get both when you buy anything you put in the sweepstakes. And 50 times entry only this week. Only time we do it on both the Ford Raptor twin turbo V6, 450 horsepower, 510 pound-feet, on and on, and the Ford F-250 diesel, 475 horsepower, huge, just a huge off-road package, $20,000 in cash to win, all that. That ends in a few days as well. So take advantage of it all, but thanks for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one bovine colostrum or discount and get one free until Sunday night at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Maduro extraction set? No way! This is awesome! Time
to gear up, men. We're going into action.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.